The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Who do you think is good enough?
To what?
Win a Super Bowl.
Who do I think's good enough?
This is good stuff.
George, we need to talk.
What?
I really think we need to talk.
No, because I wanted to do who's good enough to make the playoffs, because I think there's a lot of parity in the league this year for some reason.
She wants to talk.
She doesn't want to talk. She needs to talk.
Nobody needs to talk.
Who would want to? She tried to end it with me, Jerry.
What'd you do?
I told her I was out of soda. I went out to get some and I never went back.
Is that a lot of parity in the league?
Yeah, but the problem is there's a lot in that middle. There's not a lot on the top end, which is why you had a hard time answering the question, who can win the Super Bowl? You've done a really good job of avoiding Josh's question. I'll give you that.
He wants me to say Buffalo. I ain't saying Buffalo.
No, he doesn't want you to say Buffalo. He wants you to give a team, a single team that can win the Super Bowl.
Start calling you Twinkle Toes the way you danced out of that one.
Can you believe it? I'm supposed to be having lunch with her right now at Pomodoro.
Uh-oh. Everybody breaks up at Pomodoro's.
So, what am I going to do?
You really like this girl?
No, I like the bull. This is my one chance to make a great entrance.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stack it just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth.
Gabe Neitzel, since you are the arbiter of this distinction,
she's too excited.
Can we say that the NFL season is starting today?
Starts
is
today!
It finally here? Can we get excited?
You're the one who had the weird math at the beginning of the week.
It's not weird math. He agreed with me. He agreed with me. We all agree.
Josh, no, first of all,
you
got to
count
agree.
The day. You yes, can't bypass
correct.
The day.
Correct. Thank you.
Like, this day is just started.
But again, today.
Okay, so
is
we're
the
still
game.
A day away.
No.
So by your math,
no.
Your math,
no.
We're a day away.
Today is the day. Is the day. Today
no.
is the
we,
day.
We can't accelerate because we're still a day away.
What?
Apparently, the NFL season doesn't start today.
You just can't. Chewy's right. You can't just bypass days. You can't just accelerate your way through the week because you're super pumped about the game being on Friday.
When do the Packers play? How many more days? Okay, which is how many days?
Well, it's tomorrow.
Which is how many days?
Today and tomorrow. Two.
Okay, so tomorrow is now 2 days in your guys' world.
It is. It's 7 a.m. I don't understand why this is so hard for you to wrap your brain around. You can't bypass today. Today has not happened yet. Is today in progress? Yes, it is.
You guys need to get off your high horses.
You know what, though?
You know who the people agree with.
But in your
you know
defense,
who the people agree with?
You.
Are we going to go to the poll?
Well, were you guys
raced? But I was talking about this earlier. For me, the season doesn't start until Sunday.
See, that's weird.
Doesn't start.
There will be a whole slew of games.
This is still preseason to you?
Doesn't start tonight. Doesn't start tomorrow. Sunday, it's like surreal to me. It's like, God, 20-something years ago, we opened up against the Rams. I had seven catches, 97 yards, a touchdown. God, remember that?
Yeah, and you guys lost the game.
Sounds like you do remember it.
Didn't need that detail.
Based on the...
How did you remember? Well, you got to go. So this is like gravy tonight and tomorrow.
Because you guys didn't have this.
There
like
was
everybody,
no Thursday. There was, except for Thanksgiving, there
correct.
Was no Friday. It was Sunday or Monday.
Yeah, everybody started on Sunday, except for the two teams that played on Monday Night Football.
And then we opened up 1 year on Monday night against the Bears and won that game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the year after the Super Bowl. So it doesn't get like weird to me till Sunday.
No, it's weird now. It's very weird now. Well, yeah, because it's a very big game. I could argue if it was a, you know, crap game that you'd be like, it doesn't really count. But this is Ravens Chiefs. This is a big game.
Oh, it's huge.
Right. Yes. So that's what I'm saying. Like, so your brain still isn't plugging in for football until Sunday, even though tonight's game and tomorrow's, because that's Packers Eagles.
Yeah.
Those are big, good games.
Yeah. Maybe it's the multiple games on one day where there's a routine. All right. Noon. And then the, what is it? 3:30 here. I don't know. It's just
3:25.
It doesn't hit me till Sunday. It's just very weird.
Do you just like, is it because you can flip around to multiple games
maybe,
on Sunday?
Yeah.
And you have to be locked into one game today, tomorrow?
It's probably that, and the fact that, like you said, never played on a Thursday or a Friday, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, and Friday is even newer than this whole Thursday thing. This is the first time they've played on a Friday the opening week of the season.
So don't really like it either.
Will you watch tonight's Ravens-Chiefs game?
Half a cup.
What can you glean from a week one? Again, we have talked about this on this program. The preseason is basically defunct. It's just a shell of its former self.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really get a chance to assess who these teams are, what they are, or what their strengths are going to be. You think you know. I mean, the Chiefs and the Ravens, we've seen them play a lot. A lot of the same personnel, although every roster changes every year. So what do we really know about the Chiefs and the Ravens? Gabe, if you were to say what definitively we know this about these teams, does it begin and end with the quarterbacks?
Yeah, it starts with the quarterbacks. It starts with their head coaches. You have two top five quarterbacks, two top five head coaches in the league going head to head. I mean, the Ravens defense is going to be a little bit different this year, certainly. Yeah. They lost some players over there. The Chiefs have some new weapons
lost
offensively.
Their coordinator.
And, you know, So they're trying to figure out all the different things, you know, that go with those new weapons.
Before till tomorrow, what's that going to tell me? Philly, Green Bay? Absolutely nothing.
What? No.
Not going to matter one bit.
What? That's ridiculous.
What? Go back to when the Saints blew out Green Bay in Jacksonville.
But that's different, Chu. Like, if the Packers get blown out by the Eagles,
means nothing.
Because when the Saints blew out the Packers, I think you had a better feeling of, okay, they're going to be fine, because they were still a veteran team led by a, at that point, two-time league MVP, or was he coming off his third at that point? But he had a multiple-time MVP. They had been known to kind of have these slow starts before. If the Packers get blown out 48-20 tomorrow...
Don't care.
Really?
Let me ask you this. Chiefs going to be in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Ravens going to be in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Green Bay going to be in the playoffs?
Maybe.
Philly going to be in the playoffs?
If they lose out by the Eagles, then I'm starting to wonder.
I think Chewy's nailing it here. The NFL is like paradoxical. Neither one of these four teams that are going to play in the next 2 days are going to be their final version in the playoffs.
Yes.
They're not going to look the same. But these four teams we all expect to be playoff teams, these games will matter for playoff seeding.
Yes.
But I don't think any four of these teams are going to look remotely the same when it comes to week 18.
No, if they blow them out or get blown out, I'm like, all right, one game, first game of the year, who cares?
But it is a conference opponent.
It is.
To Josh's point, like for seeding towards the end of the year, you end up tied with Philly and you lose this game. Whoops.
But this league now is who's the healthiest at the end of the year and who's the hottest?
So you're telling me that the NFL is turning into the things that you hate about baseball and basketball?
Correct. Yes. Totally, 1,000%.
Every game is supposed to matter. Every game is supposed to. It's kind of like what we're dealing with in college football as well. You know, when you have the four-team playoff, Florida State losing week one to Georgia Tech is supposed to matter. Florida State losing week two is supposed to matter. Yeah. And yet Heather Dinich is on Get Up yesterday telling us, hey, actually, if they win the ACC, which you've said they will not, they could still be in the playoff. Like, it's not supposed to take away the importance of the individual game.
And maybe the Vikings win the NFC North.
Yeah, that's possible.
You know, it's certainly possible.
When I played and we lost a game, that week sucked. It was horrible. I would have played the next day to get that taste out of my mouth. I don't think players care as much. It's not care. It's just like it doesn't matter as much. It's like the NBA or baseball. Brewers lost 2 in a row to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Who cares, right?
I mean,
who cares?
They lost a little ground trying to chase down the Phillies. That stinks.
Yeah,
but there's still a lot of time left.
I would love to be in the locker room, like if they lose against Philly, just to see the – I mean, we were in the dumps. The coaches were in the dumps. That next week couldn't come fast enough. I just don't think, I think they're like, hey, we're fine, we're fine. It wasn't fine when I played.
Wait, similarly, and I want to use the Wisconsin Badgers as the example here, if you win a game, but it ain't pretty, right? It's not your best look, like Wisconsin had last week on Friday. How does the, what's the vibe, what's the attitude then? You got the win, right? You walked away yes. with a W, and some people would say that's all that matters. But if you feel like, ah, there's things we need to clean up, there's things we need to work on, what's the vibe around the team then for that week?
Well, let me ask you this, Jen. Do you think Wisconsin is going to make the playoffs? No.
Don't.
No. No. So then it's different.
Wearing my Wisconsin Badgers yeah. hat, that was a tough one to
no,
spit
they
out
don't.
There.
But when you
right
think,
now, I do not.
Like, when you think you have a chance, are you got some chips or mm-hmm. some balls in the big little lottery spinner that you can make, there's more pressure. More pressure, and you're like, all right. I mean, it's fine. It's fine, but I talked about it early. Then you get the Colts who can beat you. You just don't want to compound those.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why if they get blown out in this game, Drew, which, again, I'm not predicting is going to happen, it's a big deal, and it's a bigger deal than when you had Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and all these veteran players. You're like, okay, I know what these guys are. They're going to be fine. There's still a lot of question marks around this team. Like, who definitively, who on the Green Bay Packers roster do you go, yep, I know exactly who that player is? There's not a lot.
No, there's not. But if they do get blown out, Gabe, I'll immediately go to, and we talked about this a bunch, I'm going to go to, maybe it wasn't Joe Barry. Certainly wasn't all Joe Barry. I'm not bought in that they have the players on defense to do this. Mm. I mean, we do this every year. Like, oh, God, Joe Barry's going to blitz this year, and they're going to be aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Poop Kool-Aid.
We're going to be aggressive. Jeff Hafley's great, you know? And I will tell you this, and I don't know if this means anything. Boston College looked better with Bill O'Brien than it did Jeff Hafley after one game. I'm just going to say that. They looked faster. They looked more athletic for whatever reason. Am I bought in? No. And it should be everyone's question mark. Is it Bates or the players? They hold the Eagles to 3, I'll be like, all right, I feel pretty good. They get blown out, I'm going to be like.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I think because the team is still so incredibly young, that does this game mean everything? No. If they get blown out, can they bounce back? Certainly.
I guess it depends
on if you're... But there's still a lot you can glean from the game.
I guess it depends on if you're willing... Like, you're playing tricks with your brain is what ends up happening mm-hmm. when you have a game like this and you're trying to project what happens, right? I think the line has moved. Joshy, I think it was 3 at one point this week. I believe it is 2 now at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. So even the odds makers aren't sure how this sucker is going to shake out, right? Mm-hmm. Like a 2 at a neutral site, they think these teams are obviously pretty evenly matched, but they have a new offensive coordinator and a new defensive coordinator. So for all of the consternation and hand-wringing over Jeff Hafley and what is this defense going to look like, Philadelphia is dealing with the same thing on both sides of the ball, too.
But we know Vic Fangio is a hell of a defensive coordinator.
Are you worried at all about the game passing Vic Fangio by? If Vic Fangio steps out there and throws the same stuff out there he's been doing for his entire time yeah. in the NFL, couldn't you make the argument that...
But there are a lot of Vic Fangio disciples out there. There is a Vic Fangio tree.
Sure.
You know, there's no Jeff Hafley trees. And when's the last time Hafley's been in the NFL? And he wasn't even a coordinator. He was just a position coach in San Francisco. So this is a new deal for him as well. Kellen Moore.
He's been around the block.
I thought he was I thought he was a good coordinator in Dallas and then went to San Diego last year and... You know, it takes time. So, yeah, I get that. But Vic Fangio has a resume. Jeff Hafley doesn't. And I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm not saying yeah. he's bad or he's good. I'm just saying, I don't know.
You're saying you know more about Vic Fangio because you've seen him run, what is it, a too high yeah. shell for the duration of his career?
I'll just say this, Jen. If I'm playing Philadelphia, and I'm not playing production, I'm playing cover one, okay, where you're bringing McKinney up, you're playing man on the outside on Smith and Brown, and then you have McKinney in the box for run support if they decide to run the ball, and if they don't, he spies Jalen Hurts. That's how I would do it. That's how I'd do it. We'll see. You know, you can't do makes that me, every down.
No, makes me nervous about, you know, the receivers that they have,
yeah,
too.
AJ, yeah, but sure, you feel good about Jair.
But do you? I want to put this out there again. We're having a very interesting conversation about how to attack the Philadelphia Eagles. That receiver is a big dude, right?
Yeah.
And Jair is not. And that's not to say he can't cover him. It's just to say, do you want Jair Alexander man-to-man on A.J. Brown, Gabe, yes or no? Truth serum?
Yes. I'm more worried about Eric Stokes on Devontae Smith.
Would you? Okay, we'll switch him up. Go ahead. Like, what would your perfect defensive scheme be? Who would you have on who?
Well, I would prefer not to have to load up the box. I don't have to put eight up there. I prefer to have a couple safeties.
However,
back
are you familiar with Saquon Barkley's work?
Unfortunately.
And Jalen Hurts.
Unfortunately, the Packers are very familiar with what Saquon Barkley can do.
But if you're going to play man with Jalen Hurts, you better spy him.
Yeah, because
you better spy him.
And that's where you think McKinney should be.
Because those defenders turn their backs and it's...
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be playing much man, going to be honest. Well, their whole thing is zone with vision to the ball. That's what they've been. Halfley was brought in as some guy who's going to be super aggressive, but the aggression comes from playing zone, but always screaming towards the ball.
That's fine, because there's a version, and I know I'm talking like French to you guys, but then you play three sky or four lightning.
Oui.
Prenez la clé. That's the only thing I remember from. You know what that means?
I'm scared. No, I'm scared to ask what it means.
Can I think you say it on the radio?
I think it means hand me the chalk.
What a random
That's
thing to
know. That's the only thing I remember. Prenez la clé.
I assumed the only thing you would remember would be dirty.
So, it's a fair assumption. So I have friends who have played soccer, if you will, with Hispanics, right? I've played it with, like, you know, on Mexican teams and whatnot.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And the only Spanish that they know is dame la pelota. Which means, give me the ball, right? Like, that's it. But that makes sense because within the confines of the game, you would need to use that vernacular. Give me the chalk. You're not a teacher. And it's not 1992. No relevance
I know.
To your existence. I anyway, know. We got to get to Jason Wilde. He's coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We can ask him about his optimism. For the Green Bay Packers taking on those Eagles tomorrow night.
Change the way you do business. Take more control of the payment process with Fifth Third Bank's Treasury Management Solutions. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line, all customized for your business. Fifth Third Bank National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC. I see.
Passe-moi la craie.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It is time to catch up with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We are great. We are excited. Although Chewy is having a tough time wrapping his brain around Thursday night football, Friday night football to start the season. When have the kickoffs been in the past, Gabe? I remember big kickoff parties. Have those always been, I thought it was always Thursday, no?
I mean, some people probably have parties today, yeah.
Not like in your house parties. Jason, refresh my memory. There was a year that the Packers kicked off the NFL season. They had a big stage out in the parking lot of Lambeau Field. Yeah. What was that? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was for their. That was the year that they had their 100th season, or the NFL had its 100th season. They played the Bears. They also kicked off. I mean, this is a tradition that is at least 15 years old, maybe more. They kicked off the 2011 season on Thursday night to open the season against the Saints, because they were the reigning Super Bowl champions. I think they might have played Seattle after Seattle
in
won
14.
A title,
so. Yeah, Seattle in 14.
Yeah, so Chewy just needs 20 years to wrap his brain around it, I think is what you're getting at, right, Jason?
Well, first of all, it takes Chewy Wild to wrap his brain around a number of things. So this is not unique to that. But yeah, this has been, I think it goes back to maybe 2006, 2007-ish, somewhere in there. I'm sure Josh is fact-checking me as we speak.
Jason, bigger concern, offense or defense?
Ooh, good question. I mean, I guess I have to say the defense, just because we have no evidence of what it may be capable of. But I was working on my story for tomorrow's State Journal, and I think I might have mentioned this to you guys. One of my favorite back and forths that I had during training camp was with Jordan Love about how miserable the defense was making his life in practice, and how much he was looking forward to them doing that to some quarterback other than him. And I really do think that this feels different to me. And I think if you went back in our archives, which I know no one has time to do, which is probably good because I'll probably turn out to be wrong, but I don't think that there was at least from my perspective, the same level of optimism or confidence or expectation certainly not for Joe Barry's defense. Like, I know from the start that I was a Joe Barry doubter, because I remember talking about how poor his defenses had been statistically in Washington and Detroit. And I think it was in Detroit where one of the reporters asked Rod Marinelli if he wished that his daughter had married a better defensive coordinator. I never was optimistic about that defense being good. The question was, is it going to be just good enough with the way, with what Rodgers was capable of and with what Matt LaFleur's offense might be capable of? Patton, I liked the Patton hire when Mike McCarthy finally decided to move on from Dom, but they have been a top five scoring defense once in the last 20 years. And the one time they won the Super Bowl in 2010. So if this is as good as some of us suspect it might be capable of being defensively, I think that will be really interesting. At the same time, I'm a little bit skeptical on the offensive side too, just because, they had a good practice against the Ravens, but I didn't see, I got a kick out of Jaden Reed giving me a hard time for being a Chicken Little about the offense. We got all these guys. We got Wicks. We got Watson. We got Rome. We got Jordan Love. Like, I was, just out of line to be, and he said it playfully, but like, it was ridiculous that I would think that there was a chance that maybe this offense was going to take some time to find its footing against defenses that have an entire year's worth of film of Jordan Love. So I guess I have to say defense, but maybe down deep inside, I kind of have a little more question about whether the offense can duplicate what it did down the stretch last year.
By the way, kickoff started in 2002, the NFL kickoff game, and then in 2004 was when the tradition of the defending champion hosts that game began. What are our feelings on Marshawn Lloyd? Is he going to play? Is he still going to be out with the hamstring? What do you think ends up happening tomorrow with his availability?
So I think in the immortal words of Mike McCarthy, they will ultimately play the high side of caution with him, and maybe not, and probably not play him. Now, again, I wouldn't rule it out because he practiced, and all my days are messed up now because they're playing on a Friday. So it takes me a while to wrap my head around this too, Chew. He practiced Sunday, Monday, didn't practice Tuesday. I don't know if the Packers ever sent out their injury report. I think I got it from the NFL. They added Tucker Kraft yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
With a back issue. But they had Lloyd estimated, because they obviously weren't doing Russell Wilson high knees up and down the aisles of their airplane, so they didn't really have a practice. They had him estimated as limited, as if he would have practiced yesterday. So I think there's at least reason for hope. But again, he's a rookie, right? Like, he missed the front end of training camp dealing with a hip injury, missed the back end with a hamstring injury. And, yeah, it's all nice that you can say, well, you know, I took all the mental reps, I'm ready. That's the same thing Jordan Morgan said the other day to us. But I just don't think that's the same. Like, that's great that you're not, you know, sitting around playing NHL 95 on your old school Sega system in your apartment. But that's great that you're taking mental reps. That doesn't mean that you're ready as a rookie to play in an NFL game, whether it's Lloyd, who, you know, do you really want to put him out there on third down protecting your $220 million quarterback from a blitz? Or if it's Morgan, who I think they're going to rotate with Sean Ryan, you know, he's never played guard in a football game at any level. He's only been a left tackle. And so in both those instances, I would be a little bit leery about the fact that, you know, if I am going to play them, I have to pick my spots.
Jason, you mentioned Kraft. What do we need to know about Andrew Beck? I don't know anything about Andrew Beck.
Who's Andrew Beck?
He's a fullback, right?
I don't know. You tell me. I want to know what you know about
it. That's literally all I know. That's the extent of my knowledge about this young man.
Yeah, he's a fullback. I think he played college ball at Texas. I don't know a whole heck of a lot about him either. But again, this is, you know, I know that they want some type of move guy in their arsenal. And while I don't think, you know, I remember we were talking about this on this show, that we were thinking they were going to make A.J. Dillon kind of the Josiah DeGuara, right, Chu?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, and Matt LaFleur said this to us the other day, that they had a very clear plan for him. He had a role. Like, he was, for all of us, and I am 1,000% in this group, for all of us that thought this guy might be on the chopping block, given the very little guaranteed money they owe him, et cetera, apparently he was never in danger at all. Like, he was going to be their guy that they were going to use in a myriad of ways, and LaFleur was legitimately excited about what his role was going to be. So when you subtract him from the equation, they brought back Henry Pearson for a little while, who had been on the practice squad all of last year. He's a fullback. They don't actually, I understand that they list Andrew Beck as a fullback on the practice squad roster, but the fact of the matter is he doesn't sit with, just like Henry Pearson, I'm sure, he doesn't go to the running back meetings. He goes to the tight end meetings. Hmm. And so, you know, I this isn't the old days of Harry Sidney or William Henderson. You know, they might line him up that way on occasion in front of Josh Jacobs, but this is more, I would say it's more of an H-back type role in their offense. And for whatever Josiah's shortcomings were as a third round pick and how much more you would have liked to have gotten out of him than what they did during his tenure, that is a piece that Matt LaFleur believes is crucial. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of their game day call-ups. It really comes down to, what are they going to do at running back? And then do they think Malik Willis is ready to go into a game with his crash course in the offense? Because if he's not, they're going to have to use one of their game day call-ups on Sean Clifford and have him be the backup.
Jason, do you have any idea what the rotation is going to be at right guard? Is it going to be every other series? Is it going to be quarters?
I don't know. It is not. I do not think it's going to be quarters. The evidence that we have from their rotation stuff last year, both with Ryan and Runyon, and with Yash and Rashid Walker, was either series by series, or if there's one guy slightly ahead of the other, it's two series to every one. So my gut tells me, I do not have any evidence of this, and obviously they boot us from practice now, so it's not like we get to see what they do in 11 on 11 like we do in training camp. But my gut would tell me, the way LaFleur was talking about Ryan answering the bell after he basically called him fat and out of shape publicly, is that they'll probably play Ryan two series and then bring Jordan Morgan in for one and then play Ryan again and then bring in Jordan Morgan. I don't know that. That is a educated guess from me. But in talking with both Sean Ryan and Jordan Morgan, while both of them clearly got the message not to tell us what the plan was, we asked them both about the idea of rotating. And I think Jordan Morgan's response was, as long as I get to play, that's fine. And I think Sean Ryan actually said that this could be an advantage, that it throws off the defensive tackle on not getting a bead on either one of us. I'm not sure I believe that.
Yeah, that's garbage.
But that's his,
you got to sell it.
Good luck.
But, right, Gabe, you nailed it. Like, he's selling it already, and the fact that he's selling it tells me that that's probably what they're doing.
So you they're probably going to grade him on the fly, right? I mean, it could be second half, like, hey, Morgan's playing much better. Let's just run with him. I guess that's a possibility, right?
It is. I would think it's a possibility, but I wouldn't say it's the probability. Like, they rotated, I don't have it in front of me, but
last year,
like the last 7 to 8 games, they did it that way at right guard. Like, they clearly knew, and John Runyon kind of told us that they never even bothered to make him an offer in terms of an extension. Like, they knew that they were going to move on from him. And so they wanted to get their guy work. They thought Sean Ryan was good in spurts, probably going back to what we just said about his conditioning. And so they wanted to get him work, and they did. But I don't think if you go into a game planning on rotating, I would be surprised then if at some point LaFleur said, no, we're just going to have one guy do it. I think once you're, you know, once you're committed to the rotation, I think you probably do it all game.
Jason, you got your Bold-a-thon coming up right after us here on 94.5 ESPN. Do you have any bold takes you want to throw out there, kind of preview the show?
I got a bold take. I think the only person from this show that we booked is Chewy.
Gabe was bent.
I mean, I nailed mine last year,
Jason. Yeah, he was bent. I got a text right away, Jason.
I nailed mine last year. Apparently, after you nail yours, you don't get invited back.
No respect for a returning champ.
Wait, what was your bold pick last year?
That Jaden Reed was going to lead the team in receiving yards.
Well, what was my bold pick last year?
I don't know if you were invited.
Were you on the show last year?
Yes. I just don't remember what my bold prediction was. Jason, I'll come on the show today. I just got to give Jesse a time. Yesterday, I was knee-deep in interviews. But, yes, I will come on the bold show.
Oh, wait. So now I'm the only one who wasn't even asked.
Wait a minute.
I was the only one who wasn't even asked.
I don't want to judge anybody here. But dropping that little nugget, was that just to rub it into your cohort there? Like, well, I was actually asked. I just couldn't pin down a time. You, on the other hand.
She invited herself to dinner. Yeah.
Yeah, who are you, Jair?
Wait, no. I got invited, Chewy. Stop it. I have a
text
message.
She's globbing on you,
Chew. I have a text message right here from Jesse Nelson. Hey, Jen, Wildy and Tausch are doing the annual Bold-a-thon tomorrow. Is there a time that would work well for you to join for a few minutes between 10 and 11:30 to share your bold prediction for the Packers season? Suck it. He didn't say suck it. I'm saying suck it.
God, did he copy and paste that and send it to everyone except Gabe?
Apparently, yes.
Yeah, I had to go through Chewy, though, so I was the intermediary.
It is a little shocking that Chewy was the only one to respond.
Well, I'll tell you this right now, Jason. If you don't get to Chewy on time,
you ain't getting him.
You ain't getting him.
stay alert on the Ready 5 there, Gabe.
I've already used the haircut in Dennis like 7 times this week.
He's got the excuse. Best teeth and best hair in town.
He's not actually going to the dentist.
No,
when
I had to make a bunch of calls because friends called, and I'm not a big phone guy. So, hey, I got to have a crown put on. I got to go.
Crowd
you don't do that? No one else does that?
No, I don't make up elaborate lies to get off the phone.
I just say, I gotta go.
I actually have a very strict no-lie policy when it comes to stuff because I feel like you can always get caught in a lie.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care.
All right, well, I look forward to none of you joining us today on the show.
All right, Jason, we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Wildy is heard on Wildy and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. So do I need to remember what my bold prediction was for last year so that I can rub it in your guys' face if I was right?
No, because obviously, I'm going to tell you this right now. I feel very confident that if you were right about whatever your bold take was on the Boldathon, you would have remembered
it. I just don't remember what it. I'll have to go back and look it up on Wisconsin On Demand. That's what I'll be doing during the break. Because, you know, any opportunity to gloat, I'm not going to miss out on that.
But what happens if you're wrong?
Well, we'll just keep,
the rest of us gloat?
We'll just keep moving right along. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy after this.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm right-handed, but like,
I'm with Gabe here, yeah. I feel more confident in my left hand here just cupping right now other than my other hand cupping.
Mostly because I also...
I get a lot more work out of the right hand.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Don't change the show.
Well, my microphone was open. I'm not sure if that ghastly sound that just came out of you made it all the way over here. Are you all right?
I'm a little verklempt.
I heard it through the wall.
So what you're saying is it did go out on the air.
Excellent producing here by Joshy, by the way.
Yeah, his timing is off. So when you say your mic is on, I get 2 seconds, right?
But my mic was on.
Yeah, like... Well, she turned her mic on.
That?
Sure, but still, that noise was loud.
I know I have the nickname of the elephant in the morning. I'm loud, but I don't know I'm loud.
But you know you're loud.
No, I don't.
You just had said
we're
I'm
telling
loud.
You right now
and everyone else
you're loud.
So I turn my microphone
if
on.
You know you have the nickname of the elephant. I think you are now aware that you are loud.
I guess you're right.
Elephants are quite quiet, though, except for the whole trunk noises.
What about stomping through the jungle?
Yeah, quiet walks, incredibly quiet walkers.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So then it's not a bad thing. So then they're wrong about me.
When you say they, this feels very loaded. Is they Angie?
She deals with it. It's when people come to stay at the houses. It's like, you make a lot of noise in the morning. You got to clear your throat. You got to clear your nose. You got to clear
your colon. He's got a lot. His lungs are oversized, Jen. He's got to clear those bad boys out. They're a little bit bigger than everybody else's.
And everyone just heard it on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Talking about the Packers taking on the Eagles tomorrow and, of course, the NFL season kicking off tonight. A very good game to start the NFL season as the Chiefs and Ravens will do battle. There was an interesting article about the reason for optimism, reason for pessimism for all of the teams. We want to focus specifically on the NFC North. The reason for optimism for the Green Bay Packers is Jordan Love, which I think you can make a really good case for being optimistic about Jordan Love. Obviously, what he did at the end of last season, he is now the highest paid quarterback in the league. You know, you could argue that that is just timing and the way that the market works, or you could argue that the Packers really think he is the face of the franchise, the future at the position, and that he will guide them to similar success, maybe even exceed the success that the previous predecessors had. Chewy, it does feel a little like cheating, though, doesn't it? The quarterback is the reason for optimism. I'm not sure that that breeds a lot of confidence, to be perfectly honest with you. What do you think?
Yeah, they're going to win or lose for the most part as he goes. I mean, he's got to have help. But if you put a game manager on this team, probably not making the playoffs.
Who's a game manager in the league right now?
Hi. Okay. A game manager in the league. Hold on. Got to pull up the teams.
Why don't you go through the list?
Hold on. I mean, a good game manager?
It's Kirk Cousins.
I mean, because I could say Daniel Jones is a game manager, but he's not a very good game manager.
No. He doesn't.
No. That's very nice.
If you're managing games, you're limiting turnovers.
I'll give you one, even though it's probably wrong. David Carr.
But Derek would be the one.
Bless America.
Derek Carr.
Every time.
It's impressive at this point.
David has been a broadcaster for the last decade.
I think.
Hold on. Sam Darnold?
Stinks.
PU. Not even a game manager.
No. Backup.
Kyler Murray. No, I don't even think there are. Geno Smith.
Ooh, no, you can't consider Brock Purdy a game manager at this point, can you?
Yeah. No. I think he's a high end.
I think he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Are we underselling him?
Josh
that,
is.
The point I was trying to make, and I'm glad that it, this is illustrated, is I don't think there are a lot of game managers in the NFL anymore.
I think
it's elite or very good.
Or bad.
And then El Stinko.
Yeah.
I'm referencing right here the Stephen Ruiz list of the quarterback rankings. I think anybody basically 15 and under until you start getting into the Russell Wilsons, Sam Darnold, Bryce Young, those are game managers. That's just what they are.
The problem is a lot of those guys are young. A lot of those guys are rookie or first-year quarterbacks, and we just don't know what they, what they're going to be.
But like Baker, current iteration
Baker
of Baker
Mayfield's not a game manager.
He's not good.
Yes, he is.
He's all right.
He's better than a game manager.
Your Tampa is showing. I said Tampa.
But I don't think he's...
Tampa.
I mean, his stats last year were not... What's a game manager? 18 touchdowns, 8 picks?
Yeah.
Not even 18 touchdowns?
I think to Jen's point, game managers just don't exist anymore because
Because you have no time for them.
Yeah. Of the rules of the NFL, you got to throw. So, like, Baker may have inflated stats, especially when you think about, yes, 18 touchdowns or whatever it would have been a game manager in when you played or the early 2000s. But as the game continues to evolve,
so where
like
do you,
Kirk Cousins, like,
don't say he's a game manager.
He's a game manager in 2024. He's not an elite quarterback.
So.
He's not a top 10 guy, Chew, right?
I think he's under 15.
So, like, he's between 15 and 10?
Which,
or,
by the way, is where he is on this list.
I just didn't know where you were putting. I'm sorry. The
wasn't he 15th on this list, this quarterback rankings? He's exactly 15 on this NFL rankings from The Ringer, where they ranked the NFL quarterbacks.
Could Kirk Cousins...
I think
he could win a Super Bowl with 5 or 6 teams.
With one team.
No way.
You put him on...
What, Kansas City?
No, San Francisco.
Yeah.
You put him on San Francisco and you feel,
you put him on
feel
Philly?
Decent about it.
No, you put him on Philly. Mm-hmm. If he's got people to throw to...
Philly's defense, I don't know if it's good enough.
I think we're having a hard time changing how we think about game managers with the evolution of the game. Because game managers now are high upside guys a lot of the time, but they're not like... When you think game manager, you think of like statue, stay in the pocket, just complete a few passes.
Yeah, Brad don't turn Johnson. The ball over.
Right.
Don't lose Dilfer. The game.
Those guys don't exist anymore. Right?
What about like a Minshew? Could Minshew be
he's
a game manager?
He's a backup.
Yeah, he's...
He's also a starter.
Yeah, but he's but he's a backup. Like, ideally, he's a backup, right? Like, ideally, he's not one of the 32 best quarterbacks.
I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, that sort of feels like that area that we're existing in. That you're only a starter because your team is in a bad spot, Raiders. And you would probably not be starting anywhere else. But you are a starter, and we just don't want you to go out there and lose games. Could you consider Gardner Minshew a game manager in 2024?
No. Game manager is even a step above what he is.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like
Garner to me is in that Sam Darnold camp. I mean, he's better than Sam, but
Minshew is?
Yeah.
I guess it depends on the Sunday.
It's just there's no
for
patience.
Whatever it's
there's,
worth,
there's
this
no
list
patience
has
for
Sam
game
Darnold 29 and
no.
Gardner Minshew 31.
No, because
you're spinning your wheels.
Correct. Game managers don't get you anywhere. So teams are like, okay, we either got to be all in on this guy or like there's no half measure.
Like,
you know?
Like, let me ask you this question. If Bryce Young sucks this year, is he gone?
Probably not, but they will be looking for another ways.
It's just amazing to me how short the leash is.
Especially in a situation like that.
Well, if you're
like,
five,
you throw him on a crappy team, he's the first pick, and all of a sudden, what's the perception of Bryce Young in the league now?
Stinks.
There's no patience. It's crazy. I would almost have been like, all right, let's just stink. Not play him. Give him a little time.
It's kind of what the Patriots are doing.
If he stinks this year, then that's on Carolina. They destroyed him.
Correct.
Right?
Which is why at draft time, you always have the conversation that it is more about fit than anything else. Right? You could want to be the first guy picked off the board.
Mm-hmm.
But if the fit is bad, and again, historically, the teams that are picking early have been bad. They're not in that position otherwise.
I would suggest if you're trading for the number one pick, maybe don't trade your best receiver who would really help out that number one pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a suggestion for future teams looking to do that.
Or if you know you're going to go
negligence happening there.
If you know you're going to go 3 and 14, why play him?
Well, again, that's what the Patriots are doing. The Patriots know that they're not a very good team this year.
So play Brissett.
Yeah, they're playing Brissett. At some point, I think we'll see Drake May this year, but they're playing Brissett early.
So I want to get back to this list very quickly, and I know we're running out of time. The reason for pessimism on this list from SB Nation, this, I said the reason for optimism for the Green Bay Packers was Jordan Love. But the reason for pessimism, guys, the young weapons.
That don't evolve.
But don't those kind of go hand in hand?
Yeah.
Can't how does Jordan Love have success without the young weapons? You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels a little like talking out of both sides of their mouth. Like, the young weapons have to produce. The young weapons have to evolve. The young weapons have to perform in order for Jordan Love to also be the reason for optimism.
I think the case for pessimism they're making is those guys don't reach their potential or continue to grow, which then holds back the team as a whole and then Jordan Love. Like, I think it's two totally opposite cases. And they do seem to mention in there as well just young overall. Like, there's a lot of young guys that are going to be key contributors.
You mean on both sides of the ball?
Yes.
Yes, all over the place.
Which can be, we saw it go well the second half of the season, but for the first half, it was a big issue all over the field.
Yeah, they've got a lot of young guys learning a new defense on that side of the football. They're going to be relying on a lot of young guys over there. And again, it goes back to, I think this is also kind of saying what I've been saying all week. Like, just the lack of stars. The lack of, and some of these young guys can develop into stars. I'm not saying that.
Not all of them are, though.
But not all of them
are. Yeah, not all
of them are. But you need some of them to develop into stars.
Correct.
That's what they need. And right now, you have a lack of proven high-end talent.
See, I'm going to say, I would say the run defense, because they sucked at the run defense under Barry. Okay, you're going to be more aggressive.
Like, the last time they were good at run defense was 2014.
No, I know, but like, if they cannot stop the run, Gabe, on Friday, this game is over with a capital O. If they can't stop Saquon and they can't stop Jalen Hurts, it is going to be San Francisco 2.0.
But let me ask you a question, Chu, because that feels like a very unique dynamic that the Eagles have. I don't know that they're going to see a 1-2 punch like that throughout the season.
Well,
but what does it matter if they beat up on Carolina?
Guess who's waiting for him the next week?
Yeah.
JT.
Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson.
Yeah. I mean, teams don't want to run the ball, but if you let them run the ball, they're going to run the ball. There's a lot of stuff packed into that.
Am I a bad person that when you said with a capital, I was hoping you were going to say a different letter than O?
What did you think I was going to say?
I don't know. I was just rooting that you were going to somehow spell over wrong.
Okay, I'm not going to spell it for spike. Jen's shaking her head.
That's not like a word like knife where you could mess it up. Like,
well, I know, that's why it would have been funny.
Over.
I mean, is there really a need for the K? I mean, what do you think about it?
Yes.
When God was making the alphabet or spelling words, why did he put a K there?
You think God
just
created
it? Okay. All right.
I don't want to get into theology.
Yeah, Catholic boy over
here. Yeah, I don't want to dive into
it.
But think about it.
But
God, why invented the alphabet?
When God was creating the earth, it's not like, and on the eighth day, he invented English.
But
like,
why a K?
English was
It makes no sense whatsoever. What? You could have got the exact same thing and saved so much ink by just putting an N-I-F-E.
Also,
explain to me what the hell is the need for a K.
Explain to me why you're saving ink. Who are you saving?
Because we used to have pens back in school, and think of all the Ks that kids had to write.
Think of the guys who had the quills and had to dip it,
Jen.
Think of those guys.
Yeah, think of the Bic guys, who want you to run out of ink sooner so that you buy more pens.
That's a good point.
They are pro-K. I'll tell you what, they're pro-K.
The Bic guys know full well, you ain't ever running out of ink. You're losing the pen before you lose the ink.
We can't gloss over the implication that God invented the alphabet and then did it wrong.
Yeah, I can't tell now if you're a good Catholic or a bad Catholic.
I mean, he's Catholic. They're so.
We got to take a break. I can't feel my abs. No, I can feel them. They're just hurting. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, more after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You can't. You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But
But Ernie,
you don't know how to Ernie, do it. And I don't know
does
how
it
to
ever?
It, so it's,
yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what that means. I will be enjoying my Celsius energy drink, which fuels my active lifestyle with their game day energy. Drink Celsius like I do and like Travis Hunter, Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel, and others in college football do as well. Explore all 27 refreshing flavors, sparkling or non-carbonated. There is a Celsius for every taste on game day, including my favorite, the peach vibe. Although, guys, I got a case of the cherry cola sitting in my house. Chaser, my 15-year-old, tried it yesterday, said it was delicious, so that is next on the old list when it comes to Celsius. Stay active and energized all game day long.
Want to bring one of those
long.
In here, huh?
With Celsius by that. Your side, Celsius, live fit. You're into the cherry cola?
So, I don't drink a lot of soda, but the only time I do is when we go to the movies, and if it has, like, cherry Pepsi, hey,
Angie,
game over.
Angie loves the orange something. Orange
Crush?
Dream, orange something. Loves them.
Dreamsicle?
Like the Celsius flavor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Very delicious.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy after this.